At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome in, friends. It's In This League on Sports Grid ITL. On Sports Grid. As a matter of fact, I am Chris Welsh. You can find me on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh. I will be one of your co-captains for the next 3 hours. Joining beside me is the Cowboy Scott Bogman, the original Texan Scott Bogman, who is now in his brand new destination in the beautiful, awesome state of Texas. And your new location, Bogman, you're all set up and raring to go. No longer an Arizonan.
That's right. You're one of three captains here, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
So because we have Captain the Cat is with us as well. So
that's right.
We are all ready to go. You know who else is ready to go? Saquon Barkley. Ready to go.
Literally can't even keep it in your pants to just like there's no bigger victory lap Bogman's trying to do right now than the Saquon stuff, which I don't think you can fully take.
I mean, this isn't a victory lap. This is a stroll around the block. You know, this is kind of like a qualifying lap or something,
I think what this is more like is this is like putting on your shoes and filling your water bottle, like
ready
to do the victory lap. I don't think you're not even stretching yet. It's week two in the preseason. Saquon's looking all right out there. You're just stretching.
Well,
out
he's
the
off
hammies.
The pup. He's doing team drills. You know, all he's got to do is get hit one time, and he's ready to go. So
and he breaks. Oh, you mean ready?
Whatever.
I mean, whatever you want.
And look, he played, what was it, one game, two games last year? Christian McCaffrey played three. I'm ready for my guys to come back. I want to see him play.
Well, I mean, Saquon is one more injury away from this being who he is.
Yeah, you're 1,000% right.
I saw someone post a thing. They were like, did you know Jordan Howard was 26 years old? And I saw that and I was like, huh? Like, Saquon Barkley is one more injury away from being like the 26-year-old Todd Gurley who has 35-year-old knees. We're one foot away from that.
You're absolutely right about that. And if he gets hurt again and misses a significant amount of time this year, I will have to just relent on that.
Eat the crow. Speaking of crow that could be eight, at least from a football take perspective, we've got a bunch where you can either kick that crow or eat it. We're going to be talking about week two preseason and what we're looking for. We're also going to be looking at some early week one odds because then we can come back to it. Maybe you can get some value here now before week one and a whole bunch more right here in This League. Don't go anywhere. It's Bogman Welsh. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In This League.
You are too easy.
In This League is on Patreon at patreon.com/ITL Army. You guys want to get in on all of the stuff. And there's not just one thing. there's not just two things. There is a litany of stuff going on at our Patreon, from ranks to prep you up for this. Maybe you got drafts this weekend or next weekend. Bogman has every rank under the sun. We've also got both of our PPR ranks that can go up against each other. We've got GroupMe rooms to get access to us or some of our other listeners. Secret shows, live streams, do giveaways on my Break This League night streams. And there's tons more. And you are directly supporting Bogman and I when you do it. So little as $5 can get you in the door and get you a decent amount of stuff. So go and check it out. Patreon.com/ITL Army. A very good way to spend your fantasy season with like-minded people. Patreon.com/ITL Army. We would appreciate that. Bogman, week two of the preseason is here. Couple games in the books. Everybody listening knows what happened. We don't, based on our recording schedule. But we're closing in, and a little bit later in the show, we're going to actually take a look at week one of the regular season because the lines are already out there. We're going to pull up the FanDuel Sportsbook. And one of the fun things to do, and I actually think we should mark it all down at this moment, and we'll go game by game and kind of talk about what we really like and where it could potentially move. And then right before week one, we'll come back and we will reestablish, but we can also compare and contrast against, because obviously you can find some deals just like in fantasy. You know, we don't highly suggest you draft 3 months before, but you have the potential to get incredible values based on players getting hurt or winning certain jobs or getting cut and signing somewhere else. You know, you can get some really good values early on. And that's something we can take a look at, maybe how some of the bets are early placed and where it might move. We'll do that later. But week two of the preseason, and I thought we would play a little game because week one was fun. You know, we're not breaking a lot of it down. Bubba and I did break some of it down. We had some highlights. Ramondre Stevenson, Bogman. Yeah. You know my guy, Ramondre, with the two touchdowns.
Are you starting to come over to my side on the maybe Damian Harris is a little bit overrated stuff?
Oh, I don't think it had anything to do with Damian Harris. It has to do.
You don't think it does?
Well, no. Damian Harris didn't do anything in here. I think Ramondre Stevenson, in how good he looked, which was so hilarious.
Well, it's not about Damian Harris's skill. It's about how the Patriots use their backs. That's more my thing. And Stevenson looking good means everybody is in trouble, I think.
I mean, it's one of those things where I looked at it and I go, I mean, this team can cut Sony Michelle. You know, J.J. Taylor is there. Yeah. You cut Sony. I think Sony Michelle is going to get cut because it was so funny how negative the team was. You know, I don't remember the coach. Was just like, you know, what's he got to improve in? Everything. You know, what's good about him? That he's here. You know, it was like Ramondre Stevenson was getting all the crap. And then he came out and looked explosive. And that was a really good week one takeaway from a guy that I think was trending in the wrong direction.
Right.
So, but there's only so much we can take away and so much we can really look for in some of these games, especially week one. Was there any others from week one that stood out to you? The Ramondre Stevenson one just happened to jump out to me, but
this,
I know
Stevenson
been
one I think was the biggest one. So yeah, I think that's the thing that stood out the most. And you know, we do have to take some of the preseason stuff, especially Ramondre Stevenson's 97 yard touchdown run, stuff like that, with a grain of salt, because
most of it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, because they're going up against guys who'll be moving furniture. I mean, look, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but you know, these guys are trying to make their dreams happen, and maybe they will, some of them, but for the majority, most of them are going to go back to having day jobs, you know, after they get
picking up Bogman. The Cowboys are going to be picking up Bogman's food in a couple weeks.
That's right. So, you know, they're going to be going back to normal 9-to-5s, and there's no issue with that. It's just, you know, they're not NFL caliber athletes. And when you get one NFL caliber athlete, I mean, just remember playing in the stupid park with your friends. You get one guy that is pretty good, or one guy that played JUCO ball, they're better than everybody else by a wide margin. And that's kind of what it is.
Thank you for that nice compliment. That was really nice of you to single me out.
Yeah, I was definitely talking about you and not anyone else. So,
I mean, you got to admit, who had better hands than me back in the day?
Yeah. Well, you know, not many guys. We weren't playing against many guys in JUCO when we were 12. So, you know,
also true. I mean, I almost turned into like Al Bundy and be like, I did play some high school ball, but it wasn't or there wasn't a lot. Okay. So, I mean, that's fair enough, especially week one. Week one's kind of the dirtiest of all of them. And, you know, there's less play than anything else. Week two, week three. Week three is kind of the bigger one. Week four is usually the going to be the spot where it's like backups and stuff like that. But week three is the big run through. But you should get some more play in for this round. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the Saturday games. We're avoiding Washington, Cincinnati, the Cardinals, and the Chiefs, and then the Patriots, Eagles games that have already happened. Though I definitely think there are some, there's some fascinating ones out of that as well. Like specifically with the Chiefs, like Pringle is someone I feel like that has been kind of popping up. There's some really late receivers that I felt like we left week one of the preseason where it was receiver hype and love. And I wonder where we're going to go in this next round. And that's what we're going to talk about. So I'm going to kind of, I'm going to hit a game and then you tell me what's something you're looking for. It can be a big play guy. It can be a little play guy. And I'll set you up and I'll show you what I'm talking about. First game up on Saturday, you've got Bills and Bears. So people are listening on Saturday. Game may have happened or going on as you're listening to this. Like I look at this one and I have a hard focus on Zach Moss because Moss, you know, I want to see the early run of how they treat him in the game. Is he the starter? Does he get some of the early carries? Do they go like Antonio Gibson in week one? Something, another one of those takeaways I had, it actually helped lead me a little bit to my, just a tiny bit to that bold prediction of Antonio Gibson I had on Fantasy Pros on our show, where Antonio Gibson got like six touches in the first quarter. And before he got out, like when he was in the game, they were like Gibson. They threw to him three times. He had multiple rushes and then they took him out because get him the hell out of there. Something like that with Zach Moss is going to help push to a hot take I had on the this league fantasy football show was that he is going to be the clear cut number one running back. So I'm looking at some early action. That's a focus for me on the Bills side of the Bills Bears. But I ask you, what from tiny to big are you looking for to maybe answer or bring up some questions, Bills, Bears in preseason game two?
I mean, the biggest one, obviously, is Justin Fields, right? I mean, that's the biggest one, just to see how he performs. And it's still Andy Dalton's job. And Nagy has said from day one that Andy Dalton is our starter. And we all know that. But we also know that Justin Fields is going to take over at some point. So, you know, performing well in the preseason is going to go a long way for him in that. So, that is a really, really big one, obviously. But also, Tevin Jenkins just went down, and this line is rough. So I want to see, you know, if whoever is back there at quarterback for the Bears gets more than half a Mississippi, right? So we really want them to be able to protect the quarterback and run the ball and all that stuff. And if the O-line is as garbage as it seems, then it's going to be a long year for whoever. So that O-line needs to gel, and it's got to do it fast. So I think that's the biggest thing I'm looking for.
Yeah, I mean, I think Fields is kind of like that big one. Let's see how much time we have. We got time for at least one more. Jets and Packers. This is kind of the games are all kind of spread out. They're a little bit more late afternoon as a whole. But Jets and Packers, I feel like there's a couple things in here. By the way, line Jets are favored 2.5 on the road.
Their starters should play longer.
Yeah. So what are the key points as far as preseason, whether it's gambling or for fantasy that you're looking for? Jets Packers.
Zach Wilson, of course. You know, just to see him make another step. I thought he was pretty good in that first game. And also, how are they handling this running back rotation in New York, right? Is it going to be LaMichael Perine getting the ball first? Is it going to be Tevin Coleman? Is Coleman even going to play? You know, how much action does Michael Carter see and how does he look in it? And Elijah Moore, you know, they've got a lot of young pieces on this offense. And that's really, I think, what we need to be focused on is who's getting the playing time and who's looking good.
There's a bunch more that we're going to be covering, maybe even some higher implication ones. You got your Lions and Steelers are in there. There's another one I'm very curious to look at with the Bucs game, as Arian said that Gio Bernard is going to be heavy in the offense this year, maybe something we can look towards. So don't go anywhere. When we come back, we can get Bogman's take on that and the rest of week two preseason, what we're looking for right here on In This League.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
Welcome back, friends. It's In This League with Bogman and the Welsh. And friends, if you would like to support and rock some ITL gear, you can do it. InThisLeague.fans. Go check it out today. Shirts, mugs, hoodies, all the stuff, stickers. Even got some die cut stickers with a bunch of different things. Go check it out, from the Boggs Jr. to the In This League logo. It's all sitting there, and I swear there's going to be some new stuff coming up here very, very soon. So go check it out. Bookmark it, InThisLeague.fans. And if you, especially if you're going to Texas, maybe you'll run into Bogman and you can right. be wearing the
Texas
stuff.
Texas is really small, so you it's should small. Run into me.
Like a really, it makes me think, or it'd be like, hey, this person from Texas be like, do you know blah, blah, blah? Like, no, yeah. I don't. I don't know anybody.
I'm from Arizona. Oh my God. You're from Arizona. Do you know Frank Johnson?
Yeah. You know Larry? Larry Fitzgerald? Like, I know yeah. him. I don't know.
I have met Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah. I like to think that, like, our listeners, if someone were to say, I live in Arizona, they'd be like, you know the Welsh? Be like, no, I don't. I know nobody with the first
Arizona
name.
Also really small place, not a lot of people there at all.
Very condensed area. Mm-hmm. It's not spread out like really, really wide, and you know, like 14 different baseball stadiums and stuff like that. Well, technically less, because teams share. Isn't it interesting? I'm not going to go off on this tangent, but isn't it interesting? Arizona is like one half of the home of spring training. But yet, like, some teams have their own facility and some other teams are shared facilities. Well, I just think that's so interesting.
The rich teams have their own stuff. The Cubs have their own stuff. The Giants have their own stuff. The Dodgers.
I mean, the A's,
well,
though.
No, the Dodgers share.
Dodgers share. A. The ones that have their own stadiums are Milwaukee, Chicago, and the A's. And the Angels. Those are the four that have their own stadiums. And then, like,
I think we might be missing one too.
No, I don't think so. I think that's all of them. That's all of them. Those are the four that share. And it's like,
well, it's
or don't share. I mean, they have their own, and then the others share. It's like, why?
It's still like there are some spots spread out. And honestly, I think spring training is what I'm going to miss the most about Arizona, to be completely honest with you. But the, going from the farthest point to the farthest point in spring training in Arizona is maybe an hour and a half. But in Florida, everything's just so spread out. It's like 2-hour bus rides to half the places. So doing it better in Arizona for sure.
They need to have some football spring training out there near you, maybe in Little Tejas. All right. So
I can do high school football every single Friday night. So
isn't there any minor league spring training near you? What's near you, by the way? What can you can get the Rockets. You could get the Astros. Is there any minor league spring training facilities?
To be honest, I haven't even looked. So right, I don't even know what restaurants are all close to me yet. So
we'll get there.
We're getting there.
All right, so we're taking a look at week two preseason and not going through the game breakdowns, but looking at what to look for. What is the thing, especially we can kind of highlight to people, what are the things that you want to monitor that could, you know, be of note, because there is so little that is of note in the preseason. We went through the first two, Falcons, Dolphins, Boggs. For any, you know, gamblers just knowing, Miami was favored by 5 at home in the preseason game. I feel like there's a lot in there, especially from a run game perspective with the Falcons. Their depth chart is really weird. I think like all the likely number twos were like 3 and 4 as far as depth chart goes. Dolphins have a million other things. What are a couple highlights from this game that would be takeaways for fantasy that you're looking for?
Well, on the Falcons side, Kyle Pitts. I want to see how he's looking, how him and Matt Ryan are hooking up, however long Matt Ryan is going in this game. And on the Dolphins side, I think the big thing is, are we going to see Malcolm Brown start again? Is it going to be Salvin Ahmed, however we're saying his name, Miles Gaskin? Just because we butchered it on the show last week, Welsh, remember.
That totally didn't get cut from the show. So right. No one knows what you're doing.
Okay. Great. Maybe Jalen Waddle, of course. See how Tua has taken a step forward. What is your problem? Welsh is not keeping it together.
It's just your reaction was just priceless. You're like, Oh, great.
Oh, great. Yeah. happy about that. For
keep
sure.
going.
Among
keep
other
going.
Things. Yeah. No, I mean, really the Atlanta defense, too, like just to see if they are going to take a step up. I've read a bunch about maybe AJ Terrell's looking way, way, way better this year, which would not be great for IDP. because we want him to be making all those tackles. So that's the kind of stuff I'll be looking at.
Ravens, Panthers. Panthers a favorite in the preseason action. It's hilarious seeing the over under scores in these, but it's no surprise. What about Ravens? I feel like there's a lot. There's actually an interesting take I want to look at when we get to the Panthers in week one, looking at some of the early odds. But what are some fantasy takeaways that we need to be on the lookout for Ravens, Panthers?
I mean, Terrace Marshall's getting a bunch of buzz in camp, so I kind of want to see what he looks like.
What does it take? But what's the thing? Is it like a couple good targets, couple good catches, and it's like, there we go?
Yeah, I think it's multiple targets, maybe some type of an acrobatic catch. You know what I mean? Just, is he keeping his practice pace? Is he taking that into the game, or does he get into the game and look like garbage? You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff happens all the time, where you hear camp names every single year. Who is it? Mykel Franco is the king of spring training every single year, right? So
Thomas, I think of Thomas Clayton when I think of like camp guys. Thomas Clayton, Kansas State running back for the 49ers years and years ago. He was like, he led all of preseason in rushing by like 100 more yards than the next guy. And then I'm pretty sure he got cut.
Yeah. There's so many guys that, you know, they'll look great in, they'll look like garbage in practice, and then they'll look good in the game, or vice versa. They'll look great in practice, look like garbage in the game. But you got to transfer that momentum that you're getting on the practice field into practicality here. So Terrace Marshall is the biggest thing I want to see here.
Your game, and this is going to be a big focus, Lions Steelers. You know, you probably off the cuff can have some Steelers ones, but start with the Lions for a second. Lions Steelers fantasy takeaways or impactful things that can happen that people should look for fantasy.
Who is out here with the starting offense at wideout? I think is the biggest thing for Detroit, because Amon-Ra St. Brown has looked like, you know, their number one wideout so far, because half these dudes have, I almost lost $100 right there. Half these dudes have been hurt. So how are you supposed to get any? They're already garbage, right? The wide receivers in Detroit. How are you supposed to get any momentum towards the regular season if no one is out there? So I think really, you know, we know Swift is banged up and all that stuff. Jamar Jefferson, I'd like to see, because he missed last week. Hopefully he'll be able to go this week, because he was getting a lot of camp buzz before rolling his ankle right before the game last week. You know, there's way more to look for on Detroit, I think, than there is in Pittsburgh. I mean, Pittsburgh is just the offensive line gelling together a little bit more, more Najee Harris. Of course, Tomlin has talked about how he's going to get a big run in the preseason, and this should be the biggest one. And
do you think it's important who the full-fledged back that comes off of Najee is, if it's McFarlane or Benny? Is it still Benny Snell? Is it McFarlane the guy to take?
Benny Snell just started practicing again, so I don't know how much he's going to play. But yeah, I mean, you know, between Balazs and McFarland, who is running better between those guys? And when Snell gets in, is he making the most of his carries? Because one of these guys is going to get cut. Yeah, and I think it's going to be Benny Snell, to be honest with you. So,
I would say if Benny Snell is cut, it's bad news for the questionable running back teams. Because Benny Snell, like, I just keep thinking of the Rams, even though I'm in on the Daryl Henderson stuff. Like, if you get guys like Sony Michel and Benny Snell being cut, I just don't see how a team like the Rams doesn't decide to go pick one of them up. Or maybe even a team like the Falcons. You know, the Falcons have a really weird set in the backfield. Not that it would necessarily take away from Mike Davis, but, you know, Benny Snell would be a good kind of goal line type of guy in Atlanta. So it would actually make some sense. Titans, Bucks. Bucks a home favorite here. The biggest takeaway, I think, off of recent news that I would work with, I mean, I think watching Darrington Evans and seeing how he plays with Tennessee is something to continuously follow. But Arian said that Gio Bernard is going to have a big role in this offense. And just how are they? I mean, I just went on a whole thing on ITL about Ronald Jones, but Antonio Brown got kicked out of practice this week for throwing an inner squad practice for ripping a helmet off. And he's kind of back to his old stuff, but you've got the wideouts, you've got Gronk, you've got three running backs, and Leonard Fournette kind of plays that passing back. Gio's a dude, but how is this team? Is this team going to just have no viable fantasy running back at all? Like, are we keep going back and forth about like Ronald Jones, Leonard Fournette, blah, blah, blah. Maybe it's just nobody. If Gio Brown is also going to be involved,
this crap happens every single preseason. This is what I'm talking about with Damian Harris. Damian Harris got all the buzz last preseason, and he was fine. He wasn't good. He wasn't bad. He was okay. You know, this is the type of crap that we were, you know, we're all worrying about Ronald Jones and Keyshawn Vaughn and all that stuff. And Bruce Arians was talking up Vaughn a little bit last year, and then he sucked. So, yeah.
You buy no little ounce that Gio Bernard
not from
is.
Bruce Arians. No, not. I mean, how is Gio Bernard going to get on the field? So he's one of the most inefficient backs last year. He's old as hell. He's going to be in there for pass protection sometimes. Yeah,
but pass protection and third downs. I think he's the quintessential third down back, and Brady will go.
He is.
They might treat
old
him like James White, but they might treat him like James White.
No, they're not going to.
I think that's why we have to watch for it. Okay, so then what is we're going to go to break here, and then we'll finish up on the other side. What is the thing one way or the other? Like, what if Gio gets a big chunk in this preseason game? Does that do anything for you? It doesn't matter at all. So there's nothing Gio can do that
can win me over for him for this year. It ain't gonna happen for me. So it's gonna be no from me, dog. It's all Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette. They're so much better than Gio Bernard. It's not even funny.
Yeah, and then there's just chaos. There's also just chaos surrounded that
chaos
offense with so
ladder.
I mean, you love Brady, and if there is a quarterback that can make multiple people work more than any other, it's Brady. But that running back spot, you don't want to have this type of a fight happening.
Yeah.
Unless there's one guy that makes himself known and the other two are fighting for that extra time. Like Ronald Jones being the top guy and Fournette and Bernard having that battle. If that were the case, something to watch for. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to finish up what we want to look for week two of the preseason, and then we'll take a look at some week one early bets. So don't go anywhere in this league. Be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
Make sure you don't miss a moment of In This League on your podcast app, because there's a lot of shows. This one right here, you're probably listening on the podcast, but maybe you're on Mightier 1090 or listening on Sports Grid. You can subscribe anywhere that pods are, specifically for this show. All the other app stores, maybe not everything. Fully kind of promoting at this point. Spotify, Apple, that's the place, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart. It's the best place to subscribe to this podcast. We've got the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast, which we had a killer week. We had bold predictions and hot takes episode. We had a Flex League mock draft prep show. We have a lot of live mocks. You can get that, the Baseball Prospect One, all the stuff on in your podcast apps. Google Podcasts doesn't play nice with us. So Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple. Just search In This League, and if you need a little bit of a, you know, an alteration, put in Prospect One or CFF, and you're going to find Bogman and I. We're all over the interwebs, and we would appreciate if you would subscribe so you don't miss any of the action. All right, finishing up preseason week two highlights, things to look for, the spotlight here, Texans-Cowboys. Yeah. A lot of stuff to pull out of this one, but what are the things we need to monitor that could alter potential rank changes? Just any of the things that we need to be on deep lookout for this game.
I think we might need to be looking out to see how good Garrett Gilbert is playing in this game, because I mean, Dak, you know, we're going for a second MRI, but it's no big deal. Don't worry about it. It's almost like the, you know, hey, look over here, you know, look over here. It is fine. Yeah. You know, everything's okay. It's going to be okay. So, playing backup quarterback for Dallas, apparently is becoming more and more important every single year.
See, it's interesting you say that, because I was going to say, I want to really pay attention to see how Tyrod Taylor's looking. As the FBI closes in on Deshaun Watson stuff, and he seems to be just at odds with everything going on legally. I still think we're
The FBI is searching for stuff against him because that, you know, an extortion plot is what they're looking for, apparently. Yeah.
But it all looks nasty right now. Just take a look at the quarterback play. Also, I think the biggest one out of this is this running back situation. We talked about it a lot. As Bogman starts to show off about how right he is about Saquon, he has the extreme right and wrongs on the running back situation. No one was higher than Philip Lindsay on him, but you also no one was higher at David Johnson than you. And David Johnson is sitting at fourth on the depth chart.
Johnson, I was close. I was definitely one of the higher
people. I'm being facetious. Like he was your guy in mocks early on. You were taking him everywhere. But now Philip Lindsay's a guy is to watch how they do treat that, because David Johnson is put at fourth on the depth chart. If they really treat him at fourth and he gets a run in like the third quarter, he starts going and he's failing. It's not going to be great. It's not going to be great for the overall outlook. So I think
you and I talked about it on the ITL Fantasy Football Podcast, where, you know, I said, okay, look, I get it that Ingram and Lindsay are listed at 1-2, but are you putting Ingram ahead of Johnson? And you said, no, we can't do that.
Johnson.
Johnson, we got Johnson here. But yeah, I mean, look, Philip Lindsay's their dude. You know, that's to me, that's their guy. I like Mark Ingram, but Mark Ingram, you can't beat out Gus Edwards, dude. I mean, you know.
I think from a veteran leadership thing, they keep that.
He's going to get run for sure, but I don't think he's going to be as productive as David Johnson. You can use all three of these guys. Remember, we have coaching and a staff coming over from Baltimore, and they run the ball more than anybody. So, and Tyrod Taylor runs the ball a decent amount too. So
let me say it like this. If the running back situation plays out how the depth chart is working, I think this game has a chance to help solidify that David Johnson needs to be maybe even moved just way down your list.
Undraftable. Like, sure.
Maybe undraftable at this point. And it could prove how underrated Philip Lindsay is that people really need to be paying attention to. Colts, Vikings, fantasy implications to watch week two.
I mean, Sam Ehlinger is going to get the start here for the Colts. So Carson Wentz is looking good though, by the way. Yeah. They said he's been at practice for the whole week with no boot on. He's doing stuff off to the side and all of that. So I think Carson Wentz is going to be back early in the season, week two or three probably. But somebody's got to start week one. So I would love to see my boy Sam Ehlinger get a start in the NFL, his first time out here. So I'm looking for him, and just to see how the offense moves with him in there, because it's got to be a lot. And then on the Vikings side, there's not a lot to look for here. We kind of know what the Vikings are doing, right? So who's going to win this third wide receiver job, I guess, is a little interesting, maybe with D.D. Westbrook. But most of it is looking to see which quarterback is moving the Colts better down the field.
Raiders-Rams is the late Sunday or Saturday game. Fantasy implications that you want to look to play out in this one.
Jones and Funk, to see who's backing up Henderson, is the biggest one to me.
Is it like whoever gets the carries in this game, like you start to make that move up? Do you think it's that easy?
I don't think it's that easy, because I don't even know if we're going to have it settled going into the season, but who is the hot hand? Who looks better overall? You know, who makes bigger plays between those two guys? And just to see how well Henderson is running behind that line is going to be interesting as well. And then on the Raiders side, it's just how are they using Kenyon Drake and Josh Jacobs on the field together? How much time at wide receiver is Drake actually getting? You know, little things like that.
The Drake one, I think the Drake one is actually really big, because I'm really low on him, because I'm a little bit of the ilk that like Josh Jacobs is being underrated because Drake is in town. And I just want to see if like that does become more Drake playing this receiving role, and Josh Jacobs can still, you know, if Josh Jacobs can still get close to 20 carries or get those 20 carries, not even close to, what if he can still get 20 carries and Kenyon Drake is a 5 to 7 carry guy, but then he's also getting 5 to 7 targets in the game. So, I mean, that gives him a double digit touch guy while Josh Jacobs is still over 20. carries, and I think that's where he could be underrated. So that's like a big one I'm monitoring. The last one on Saturday, Broncos Seahawks, Boggs. What are we looking for?
I mean, Javonte Williams, and who is winning this quarterback job between Locke and Bridgewater? Because Locke started the first game. I'm not sure who they're going to go with in this game here. But I think those that's probably the most interesting thing. We'll see if Eskridge is even out on the field yet for Seattle. We kind of know what we have in Seattle, so I'm not really worried about too much there. But yeah, Bridgewater versus Locke, obviously, and Javonte Williams, seeing what he's got because he looked decent in his first run there.
Sunday games, first two on NFL Network, last one, the night one, it was actually Monday. I'm sorry. So there's two Sunday ones. Giants Browns. Where do we go? What do we look for?
Giants Browns. I'm looking to just hopefully get Daniel Jones in rhythm with these wide receivers. You know, I think that's going to be a big part of it. And, you know, Saquon's not going to play, obviously. Otherwise, he'd be the biggest thing. I'm excited to see Kadarius Toney get out there as well. On the Browns side, I mean, the Browns are pretty established, man. Maybe is Hooper getting a couple more looks, a couple more targets, or running more routes or something like that, as they've stated that he's going to be a bigger piece of the offense this season. I think that's probably about it. I mean, you know, Odell and Baker are interesting, but I think that's really what I'm looking for is just, is Austin Hooper actually getting an expanded look here?
The later Sunday one is my 49ers versus the Chargers. And I would tell you, Boggs, I mean, you can say otherwise. The 49ers perspective, I think Trey Sermon, just seeing like how that balances out. You know, do they let Raheem Mostert kind of start off the game? And do we see any in the first two series? Do we see what the real season might look like? Because I've been pretty heavy that Raheem Mostert is going to be a big value this year. And we're underrating for the young, exciting guy. And Mostert's not done. The advantage that Sermon has is if he plays that 2 year ago Raheem Mostert role, where he is the spellback in the half of a series. But is this going to be Raheem Mostert starts every series and then Sermon comes in maybe every other? You know, getting to see how explosive he really looks and how the offense plays with him. That's kind of the biggest one to me, because I don't think there's going to be any real true takeaway outside of Trey Lance, by the way, and how successful as soon as he throws a touchdown and everyone loses their mind. He's the most obvious one, of course, for the 49ers. I don't know if you agree on the Sermon one.
No, Sermon for sure. And obviously everyone wants to see what any of these quarterbacks have, Trey Lance notwithstanding. On the Chargers side, really, it's just who is winning this backup to Eckler job between Justin Jackson, Joshua Kelly, and Larry Roundtree. You know, I like Justin Jackson a lot, but I've never liked Joshua Kelly, so I'm not surprised that he has been pushed down the chart a little bit. Larry Roundtree, though, this dude had some big numbers in the SEC playing for Missouri, so I'm excited to see what he's got. For sure. So I think that's really what I'm looking forward to from the Chargers side.
Last one, I think, has just everything that embodies this. It's
probably
this
the biggest
topic.
Preseason game of the week.
Yeah, Monday, Jaguars at Saints. And it's just, I mean, what isn't the Saints wide receiver situation, the Jaguars as a whole getting, if we are seeing, going to see Etienne, Trevor Lawrence, I'm big on Mark. I mean, it is everything in the Jaguars. I guess the question, if you're looking from like a deep perspective, maybe it's like, how does Callaway look? You know what I'm saying? Like how does the Saints wide, like who is the Saints wide receivers that are going to step up? Cause I'm not sure anything else is going to, I mean, we'll get
and Trautman had no targets and he was out there for a decent amount in that first game. So
that worry you?
That already worries me a little bit. So I want to see him get more involved. I mean, look, I love Jameis Winston, but we know, you know, he never really made OJ Howard into anything, and Cameron Brait was a little rough for a while there too, better than Howard, but is he just a guy that doesn't like throwing the ball over the middle, so Trautman isn't going to see that much action with him? And if that's the case, I'd rather see Taysom Hill win that job. So and they have the quarterback stuff there too, so there's a lot going on in New Orleans, and we know who is playing for the Jaguars and who their starters are and all that stuff. But just coming together and gelling and getting it all together before the season starts is huge. So that's what we're going to be looking for on that side.
Do you think, so we say all of that and like, what are the things to watch? You know, there's been a lot of pop-up guys and you know, like from a, like it was where the hell were the, this is a tough one. The Eagles already played, but like, you know, Jalen Reagor is somebody. There's some low-end players that have started to pop up. Like, are they going to start going? Do you think as a entirety, as a whole, there's going to be enough tangible stuff out of week one to affect fantasy outside of an injury, because like this is where the teams start to couple series might look more like, you know, regular season. Or do you think week three is the main focus overall? Like there's some small stories, or do you think this can be big enough to affect fantasy?
This is it. This is it, because week three is going to be just it's going to be just backups for the most part, like they used to treat week four, since there's only three preseason weeks.
You're right. I said four before. You are absolutely right. That is why
there's four for my team and Cowboys fans, because we played in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
because
the Hall of Fame game. You're 100% right about that. Yeah. So I mean, this is the warm up. That's why it's even more important.
This is the dress rehearsal right here. So, which
though I think there's a possibility though that week three is more dress rehearsal-y. This isn't a fact because there's only three. I think you could see more dress rehearsal than you expect because there's only three games.
I think you're going to see more of that because guys that are anywhere near even tiny banged up, you know, they're getting held out, and they're getting held out of games too. So you might see them in that last one for sure.
Yeah. Well, when we come back, we're going to finish out hour one, and hour two, we're going to be taking a look at week one of the regular season, what some of the early odds are looking like. And maybe we can set some bets a couple weeks before the season starts to see some value. And then before the season, we can compare. Also, in hour three, we've got Bubba in the house, and you guys will be able to at least break down one of those NFL games. So don't go anywhere in this league. Right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, in this league.
Look at us. Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me. Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
Welcome back, friends, in this league. Bogman and the Welsh. Bogman, Aaron Rodgers says that he does not want 2021 to be treated like the Green Bay Packers farewell tour. Huh. That's very interesting. That seems so counter to everything that we just experienced. Like, you'd kind of think that he said, I don't know what's going to happen after the season, but I'm going to enjoy it with the right perspective for sure and not look at it as I'm getting through this. I'm going to enjoy the hell out of all of it. The first comment, weird. Second comment sounds like someone who's not going to be a Green Bay Packer next year, but he doesn't want this to be treated like a farewell tour.
You know, what's funny is, he's so old, but guys, specifically quarterbacks, are playing so much later than they used to.
The NFL's changed. They did whatever it was 10, 15 years ago where they started making all the favorable calls in quarterbacks' favor, as far as, because they made a couple rule changes as far as how you can hit quarterbacks, where you can hit quarterbacks, pretty much after Brady was hurt. That has created the longevity. It's the exact opposite of running backs. Running backs barely make it past 28, and quarterbacks, if you don't make it to 40, you're a loser.
Right, exactly. So, you know, I thought originally, I was like, oh, so he's just saying this isn't his last year in the NFL, and then it was more about the Packers, and we didn't need a farewell tour if you're not going to play for the Packers anyway. Maybe they would like to in Green Bay, but he's going to go in the Hall of Fame as a Packer, unless, sure, you know, he wins three straight Super Bowls with whatever team he moves to.
Well, it was fixed. They fixed the issue. But yeah, it is interesting to hear this, because is it like, you know, he doesn't want the whole attention about this as being it and fans waving and whatnot because he's going to retire or because he's going to leave? It's just a weird thing. I can't imagine he comes back unless he really, truly feels it is the best opportunity to win a championship. If he's not going to retire, which, boy, it just doesn't seem like he's going to retire. Like, how old is he right now?
He's not going to.
How old is he?
Like 38? He's old. Yeah, 38, 39.
He's probably got 3 or 4 more years in him. Yeah, so I feel like if he doesn't feel this, he's going to go pick the team that puts him in the best spot. Probably a team like the Colts, you know, or I don't think the Broncos are that, but he's going to want a championship. And unless Green Bay is there, it will be the farewell tour. Weird comments from
37.
37. Yeah, he's got like, that's like six more years in the NFL in Brady terms. So when we come back, we're going to look at week one and the FanDuel odds. See if you can play some early bets. Don't go anywhere. In This League, hour two, right after this.